The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
LSU is putting together another great recruiting class for 2022. And somehow there's an even bigger picture. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Hope everybody is groovy as could be. I'm back. I was out yesterday. Yesterday and this coming Friday, I had a couple of procedures planned for the end of April. And so, you know, you get the call, hey, we've had a cancellation. Don't you just blurt out immediately, yes, I'll take it. Anything to do. So that was yesterday and that's tomorrow. No big picture. Preventative. Just, you know, checking the box. You reach age, you know, whatever, 40, 50. You got stuff to do. How about I just leave it at that? We all good with that? Dan Matthews, you were in the chair yesterday. Had any FCC violations?
No FCC violations.
Any lost affiliates?
Nobody offended. I think that we took control of it, and we left it unbroken, and we returned it unharmed. So I think we're all good.
Okay, so you were the Charlie Strong stepping off the analyst staff onto the field. I appreciate it, brother. I said LSU is putting together another great recruiting class for 2022. Disclaimer, and I say this every single time I talk about recruiting any other time than the 3 days in December and then signing day beginning 6 weeks later. I always say, folks, it's only a commitment. That until the kid signs the paper, actually gets enrolled, qualifies, whatever, until that kid is in the program and runs out of the tunnel and makes a tackle or catches a whatever, I was like, it's only a commitment. And I've never really held anything against kids when they decide to go somewhere else. I mean, my gosh, you're making a decision forever and ever, amen. You know the one thing I can't go back and do? I can do a lot. Like, I perish the thought. If my house burned down, I could get a new house. I can't go back and choose a new college. So you are kind of making a decision. And I know that now, you know, you can hop, skip, and a jump all around the NCAA and have maybe three colleges or four. But again, in general, that's what you're doing. You're picking a so-so. When you want to change, and by the way, it's not that big a picture for a 17-year-old when he decommits. It could be, well, now my buddy is going here or my girlfriend is going there or they gave me more money. And that's another thing. Kid gets paid, bully for you, young man. And I don't care if it's a McDonald's bag or a Lincoln Navigator. Do they still make Lincoln Navigators? I don't think that.
I'm not sure. Not a huge Lincoln guy.
Two of the worst decisions. You know, Lincoln Town Car, they just decided abruptly to take away like 80% of the limousine industry. That's why limousines over the past 10 years or so, it's almost exclusively now big SUVs, like an Escalade, for instance. It's because Lincoln was like, oh, yeah, that really popular automatic order of like 250 from limousine. Yeah, let's just cancel that whole line. So LSU putting together another great recruiting class. I'm saying they're getting commitments. Okay, so that's all they can do is get commitments. And then I follow it with, but you'd rather have them. You'd rather have them than not. And I think Wednesday? This was over the weekend, I think I saw this. And it wasn't big enough to mention just by itself on Monday. But LSU got another commitment for who can sign in this December for the 2022 class. Isadore Newman. Wait a minute. I know that high school. Isadore Newman, wide receiver, A.J. Johnson. You've seen this kid? I've seen this kid. If you had 6'4", about 210. and just a flyer. And Alabama wants him, and FSU wants him. And, you know, FSU's thinking, hey, maybe we can set up a satellite campus in Louisiana and be like the wide receiver pipeline. But A.J. Johnson, and like I said, he's a big'un, but he's more than just, you know, a large body on the outside. He is committed now, committed, which is what a kid can do before he's even played a senior year, before he's even gone to prom his junior year. He's committed. He was a junior last year, led the team in catches, yards, and touchdowns. He is also teammates with an offensive lineman. Now, I'm going to say Bo Bordelon. There's a really good chance that's not how you pronounce it. Maybe. I mean, the Napoleonic Code, you live in a parish, not a county. I mean, who knows? Bordelon, and there's none of those marks over the N or the O. Bordelon?
That's the way I've always heard it, yeah.
His offensive lineman teammate has committed to LSU as well. Now, if you're thinking four-star receiver, and I think he's a three-star lineman, and we're getting that in one class from just one school in the state? Score! No. When I said that they're putting together another great class for 2022, as it exists now, they're, I think, 10 commitments in. And I will tell you that two or three or four of the current commitments won't even wind up in the SEC. A couple of the commitments to LSU right now won't even wind up in Power Five. One of them may not even play football. I got drafted in the second round by the Brewers. So, but they got 10 commitments right now, including two from one of the programs that you'll want to get commitments from in Louisiana. That ain't what it's about. The bigger picture is the other teammate there, Arch Manning. And I don't know what this kid turns out to be. And by the way, that's what he is. He's a kid. My good friend, Bob Fasella, the sports fella, I remember him with Peyton Manning when he announced his commitment way back in the day on TV. And Bob was working for CNN at the time, I believe. And Peyton looked like, I mean, you go back and look at the, go YouTube your computer and Peyton Manning Tennessee commitment, and you'll see Bob Fasella there. And he looks like he's about 12. Now, part of it is that whole Manning look, and I'll get into that giant forehead, the sort of pasty look, the whatever. It just is kind of how they came out. As Hall of Fame quarterbacks, potentially, see? I don't know how this kid, Arch Manning, is going to turn out. I cannot imagine the pressure of playing. He's a quarterback. He's in that bloodline. He even went to that school. Like, when Vinny Testaverde Jr., all right, dad's a basically, if Vinny Testaverde, he's not in the Hall of Fame, he should be. But dad, you know, I pop out of the womb. Dad's like, all right, here's an eight route. Here's a two. This is how you check down. You know, identify the mic, whatever. And so the kid grows up to be a quarterback. Do you know what Vinny Testaverde Jr. chose to do? He chose to go to Miami, and he chose to wear 14. It's not easy. Pete Rose Junior, do you know what organization he went to? The Reds. It's not easy, and you make it even harder. Like, ask Eli Manning, who I think's getting into the Hall of Fame. He won two Super Bowls, and by the way, he was not along for the ride. All right? Like, Big Ben, go back. Big Ben's going to the Hall of Fame as well. That first Super Bowl against Seattle that they won, Big Ben's along for the ride. I mean, it was the bus. Willie Parker was already there. It was Antoine, Hines Ward. And it was – he was a second-year quarterback, I guess. And he was kind of along for the ride. Hand it off, brother. I think Charlie Batch may have been the backup. So it's not easy, even for a guy like Eli. Peyton Manning, his rookie year, Bucks, hand of the Lord. I have not looked at this in, I don't know, probably a decade. His rookie year with the Colts, he had either 26 or 28 interceptions, and I think it was 28. It's not easy. And you're not Ted Manning. You're not Steve Manning. You're not Tony Manning. You're Arch Manning. Hey, Isidore Newman, where is that school again?
New Orleans.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. I'm not saying that Arch Manning was done a disservice by anyone. I'm saying that it already isn't easy. And somehow this kid's kind of making it look easy. All right? He's as far as the projection and the recruit that he is, yeah, you want to get Arch Manning just like you wanted Eli, just like you wanted Peyton, just like everybody says you wanted Cooper, didn't you, before the injury? What, did an injury? Yeah.
Yeah, neck.
Yeah. So
condition more than an injury.
Well, exactly. So apparently you wanted Cooper as much as you wanted anybody. I don't believe that, by the way. And of course, oh yeah, granddad, who I'm named after, who was the, for the first 14 seasons of a franchise, until George Rogers got there, I believe, for the first 14 years of a franchise, he was the only superstar you had. Wow. And the kid is handling it. So LSU right now with the 10 commitments that they have, and when I said, and one will play baseball, and three, by the way, the same thing's true at Alabama, however many commitments they have, and one of them's going to wind up going to LSU. So you all just kind of, like, we have 10 right now, we'll actually keep six, and then we'll all just kind of trade recruits over the next 8 months. When I moved into the house I used to live at, got into a routine that on Saturday mornings, myself and like the five or six other people that lived like in our immediate area, we would all meet in the street, actually in front of my house, so it was convenient. We would all meet on Saturday morning and trade mail. I would get like four or five things, and like one of them would be for me, and two of them for the neighbor, and one of them two houses down. And so instead of making all those trips, and then I realized, hey, Chuck, I got some of your mail. I was like, why don't we just meet on Saturdays and we'll all just trade mail? I was like, if it's a tax thing, if it looks like a check, okay, we'll expedite it. So we would all meet Saturday mornings, trade mail, and then go about our business. That's sort of what's going to happen with recruits. But wherever you are, that you can kind of wind up there as well. I mean, LSU, my gosh, they ain't going to be 10th in recruiting. Excuse me, they're third right now. And with 10 commitments, third nationally for 24/7. So, again, they're going to trade recruits with these other programs as well. But Ed Orgeron is doing what Ed Orgeron do.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
He's doing a wonderful job. You know, really also, you know, just the relationship building and getting to know these guys that have been here, been a part of the program, building those relationships. I mean, it's been a fun transition. McKenzie looks great. He's moving really well, and excited about spring practice coming.
McKenzie Milton has not been on a field where he's wearing the same color jersey as his teammates in quite a while. That's just not where he really is. As far as full-time and running around and cutting it loose, and, hey, I'm a starting quarterback in college football. Look at me. And, boy, do I understand it. That was Mike Norvell on this here program yesterday talking with Dan Matthews, and was that 12:30 yesterday?
Yeah, it was 12:30.
Well, did you airlift Dave Bartu to a different part of the show?
I did, towards the back end of the show, and we final two segments of the show.
Okay, great.
We closed with Dave Bartu, and it worked out fantastically.
Tremendous.
Dave was Dave as he is every week, which is amazing.
We're going to put Norvell, we're going to replay Mike Norvell. We'll have Coach Norvell at 12:30, bottom of hour two, whatever that is for you. Bottom of hour two coming up, so about an hour from now. If you didn't hear Mike Norvell yesterday, again, put it in a different part of the show, but talking about who could be his starting quarterback. And anytime you get to be an upperclassman, I've always said this, if you want to get better as a quarterback, there's really only one way. You have to play in games. For anybody, how do you get good at football? You play a lot of football. You encounter things, and so you see it over, you rep it over and over, so you don't think about it anymore. I don't know if you ever did a bench press, but the first time you lay back on the bench and you're like literally the first time, for me, is eighth grade. And it was free weights. So I had my spotter there, a guy named Ken, and who is now a principal at a Georgia high school football powerhouse. So I get a lot of good info from him. But the first time I laid back on the bench, I was like, all right, how's this going to go? And, all right, well, I guess I got to lift it up just enough to get it over the, you know, top of the hook, you know, all, whatever. And so then it's free. That was the first. I looked at it, but then what do you – I mean, the reason I'm picking this is because what you rep. When you're in the weight room, you do reps. After about the, I don't know, first day, you never thought about it again because you had repped it. It's the exact same thing for a quarterback. You got to rep it. You got to do it when it counts. That is now not just an additional skill for McKenzie Milton. It's the vital one. It's the one that actually got him the scholarship offer. And I'm excited for him and for the program. Mike Norvell, big surprise. Some of the kids, and I mean this legitimately, big surprise for me. Some of the kids on that roster in 2020 that I was expecting to be part of the solution, the transition, the to ease it a little bit, wound up being the exact opposite. I was wrong about how some of those kids were going to kind of work into the equation. I don't know that Mike Norvell, he didn't. I don't know if he had a fair shot. He didn't have a fair shot last year. It was just not a, I mean, there was thumb on, there was a cinder block on the scale. So I'm excited for him in the program, and also in particular McKenzie Milton if he winds up getting the job. Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, with those transfers too, I mean, they're going to give themselves every opportunity to at least hit the ground running a little faster than they did last season, plus a full spring. We touched on that as well. So like Chuck, you said, an hour from now we'll have a chance to hear that discussion I had yesterday with the FSU coach. I bring up this coach because I don't want to bring it to just one part of the Southeast, because I feel like this name transcends the entire region, and that is Rush Probst. And of course, those of you in Alabama, you roll your eyes whenever you hear that name. People in the state of Georgia, Florida, even people nationally now, because he had a cringeworthy performance when he was on MTV for two seasons on the show Two-A-Days when he was at Hoover. But this is now a situation, Chuck, where I almost feel like that Valdosta High School, which anybody in the country knows Valdosta High School.
Wintersville.
For the proud tradition they have in terms of winning and proud football they have. And it's one of those things that it's kind of like, if you were a guy, didn't we have that friend who was a girl who we told them how much of a creep the one guy was and how he's going to treat you wrong, it's not going to work out well for you, and then sure enough, he treated me wrong, it didn't work out well for me. That's Valdosta High School right now, where it's, you know, the reputation that this guy has. And you've been fooled more than once. You've been fooled more than twice. Now it looks like we're going to be fooled a third time with this guy.
A tremendous football coach who you just can't trust.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And interesting, I'm actually going to violate that just a little tiny bit with my first question today. If it's a Wednesday and bottom of hour one, you know what it is, from LandryFootball.com, my number one site. The number one site on the internet. Folks, I do this for a living. The only reason I got food in the cabinets and the room gets bright when I flip the switch is because of college football. So I got to be up on stuff. And LandryFootball.com for me is the number one place. And that's just college, but it's also recruiting from high school up, pros, obviously, in the draft and everything. So just a tremendous site. Want to welcome on the namesake from LandryFootball.com. It is Chris Landry. Chris, how are you today?
Chuck, doing well, man. Always good to hear from you and talk football with you.
Yeah, well, I want you to, I think the phrase is, pimp the site. You're not real comfortable doing that, but I mean, folks, I pay for this, all right? This is really, really good stuff, Chris. Just tell them what they get and how to get it.
Well, think about football from a standpoint of how NFL teams, college programs run their operation. Having been a part of it, having scouted, having coached, doing front office work, being a recruiting coordinator, all those things, what I try to do is bring that to the fans and in a unique way, although you can't do it the same way, is kind of basically provide that for everybody. So whatever is going on in football, and we do it obviously 12 months a year, we'll take you inside setting up free agent boards right now, which is the start of the new league year in the NFL. Have that. How that process works, understanding all the details, you hear terms, you don't know what they mean, we got you covered for that. The draft process, of course, we've got all that covered in the same thing, how draft boards are different. No, there's not. You can read a million mock drafts, and I get a million mock draft questions. None of that has anything to do with scouting, and none of that really has anything to do with other than just talk. What it really does is understanding how everybody's draft board looks differently and why, and who may be similar and who may be good fits. We provide all that for you. For the college fan, which is obviously the majority of your audience, we do the same thing on the college side. We break down college rosters. We break down, obviously, the recruiting process. So, for example, this past week, I put to bed the class of 2021 recruiting. Got to do it at some point. I know there's some stragglers, but we pretty much got it done with a couple of late stragglers. Evaluating each of the class, every school in each conference, how they rank, how they look, but not just how they rank 1, 2, 5. Well, somebody that has 18, a class of 18 is going to look different than a class that has 27 that's backloading some of it. But so telling you where the quality is, how it matches up. I also just finished an evaluation of all the rosters by conference. So I've taken the grades. Nobody in college grades players five stars, four stars. So what I did is took the grading scale that we use and I teach, and I transformed it for the fans because they think in terms of five star, four stars. And I tell you by conference, how many, for example, in the SEC, in the ACC, how many five stars does each school have and how many five stars coming in? Four stars.
Hang on. I don't want to, real quick, not according to like 24/7 or Rivals or whomever. You're saying like the purple graded, blue graded, whatever that you translate to it.
Translate. So how many five star guys coming in? How many? Because here's the thing. Not all five stars are the same. Not all four stars are the same. You've got guys. So that the grades need to be more exact. I mean, if you got 250 guys that are four stars, they're not all the same. You know, which one of the 50 of that 250 is really more like five stars, and which one of the 50 are really more like three stars is really the key to recruiting. And so we got all the rosters evaluated, incoming and returning, from every school in every conference. So things like that we do for you. Recruiting for 2022-23, our notebooks every day. So anyway, that's a long-winded way, way too long of kind of what we got going on. It's busier now than it is during the season, to be honest with you.
I was laughing because when you were saying, you know, you can't just say, well, a kid's a four-star. Is he in like the third guy who missed out being a five-star, or is he barely, you know? Because because if anybody, if y'all want to contact Chris on Twitter and like really frustrate him and get him on a soapbox, ask him if an NFL team can, quote, get a first-round pick in trade for a guy. I'm going to start in the NFL, sort of, kind of. And I don't watch film like you. I know, like, a thimble compared to whatever you do, and you look at it 100% through the scout's lens. I've been watching Kyle Pitts. More I look at Kyle Pitts, the more I absolutely love that kid. And I'm telling you, for a team that says, hey, we need to give our quarterback a receiver, give him Kyle Pitts, same thing. I like that kid more and more the more I shine a light on him.
Well, he's a weapon. You can't look at him like some people do and say, oh, tight end. Don't take a tight end that high. Well, no, you take a weapon that high. Now, if you're someone that is looking for the next version of Gronk, that is going to be just a bone chiller, rattle your molars as a blocker. No, that's not what he is. It's not what he does. It's not even George Kittle. But he can do some Travis Kelce type things. Got you interested now? You know, so I mean, I think you put him in the mix in terms of playmakers that you would put the receivers, the Jamar Chases, the Devontae Smith. I think he's a top half dozen player in this draft. And it's just, you know, in this day and age where you try to have the big slots, the detach-wise, he's a big-time weapon. So where he goes is, look, that's not as relevant to how good he is, because we all know who goes where at the top is going to be dictated largely due to the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I need a quarterback. I got to have one. I'm going to take a chance. I think he's really good. They're not going to say it that way, but the reality, I got to take a chance. And I think what you're going to get is in Kyle Pitts, wherever he gets drafted, if he gets drafted outside of the top 10, you've got one of the top six players in the draft. Everybody will tell you that after the draft is over. I'm telling you that, you know, if somebody gets him at 15, you know, you're getting one of the top six, eight players in this draft, in my view.
Let's talk a little bit of quarterbacks and like JT Daniels, for instance. I think if he were at a program where second and two might be shotgun four wide, okay, well, let's talk about the Heisman. So it's a combination, I know, of talent, skill, whatever, as well as opportunities afforded you by your team, by your play caller. Spence Rattler and DJ up at Clemson, they're not going to have those challenges. Talk about not just the gargantuan seasons they may have, but really tell me what you think you know about those two kids beyond just the eye-popping numbers.
Well, I think we saw this with Spencer Rattler in terms of physical skills. Every bit, and hear me out here, every bit as good or better than the guys that they put in the NFL. But not as experienced, because unlike the trio of guys that they had that were transfers, they're a lot more experienced, could do a lot more with. So what you saw is, okay, well, he's not as good. The production's not as good. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They lost this game. A little bit of inexperience, a little bit of a lack of awareness of where to go with the football. So much reliant on the offense that, you know, if the offense is down a notch, meaning you turn it over here, you turn it over there, you don't, you fumble, it's going to kill you because that's your ace. The kid is an elite talent, and I think it's going to be, you know, I think only going to get better with that experience. DJ is going to be fun to watch because he's really talented. It's going to look more like, not that Trevor Lawrence can't move because he can, but it's going to look a little bit more like some of the stuff they did with Deshaun Watson. Oh, they hope that he can become Deshaun Watson or close to it, but move him outside the pocket. Do more things design-wise with him that is going to make some run-pass option, and you know, also just get him to where he's comfortable. How accurate can he be throwing on the move consistently? Getting half-field, you know, you roll out, you got half-field reads, a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable. You know, I think you kind of grow him into that offense. And yet, we talk about Clemson all the time as a place that you can go, and it is the great place to grow, don't you? I mean, it's like having a garden with the best weather and, you know, just the right amount of rain and just the right amount of sun, and, you know, you avoid the freezes and all. Absolutely, you know, that's exactly right. So, you know, at Clemson, you can groom players like no other because now, you know, it's a little different. Got to play Georgia first week. It's a little bit different situation than most years for them. We'll get to that, I'm sure, more as we get closer towards the season. But for the most part, in their conference schedule, they can kind of work things and do things and try things on all positions. And by the end of the year, they look a lot different. They're a lot better, and they don't have to pay for it with a loss, maybe with a close game here or there, but not much more.
I got more quarterbacks to ask you about, but while we're talking Clemson real quick, I think by – because they had two kids come back on defense that I really was not expecting. Skowski's one of them. But, Chris, by a certain amount of accounting, you can say that Brent Venables has 11 starters coming back on defense. Now, I know that they were children last year, especially up front, which that's hard to win. But their car crash of a season was getting eliminated in the semifinals. Tell me about what you think Venable, because I think it's 11 starters that will return. Tell me what you think about that defense, what it could be this year.
Look, I mean, look at the guys that they've had that played, and the Williams and the McGuires and the Murphys and the Bentleys, and guys who've played well, graded out well. Now, they will miss Mike Jones, who's going over to LSU. Good get, very underrated get for them. But look at the players on the defensive front that played a lot of snaps and the amount of them that are returning. It's very, very impressive. So what you see is – guys that got, and I'm talking, you know, the Reuben kid and Upshaw. I mean, a lot of guys that are really talented. Davis, I mean, you can go down and down 10, 12 guys that got good reps. A lot of them coming back, they're going to have more experience. So defensively, they weren't as experienced because obviously the year before they had a lot of those guys that kind of matured at the same time. You're going to see that. Much like we saw Alabama's defense gel a little bit better this past year, I think you're going to see that with Clemson. And look, it kind of meshes right because I'm not saying it's going to be a drop-off with DJ, but you know, I think they're going to want to rely on their defense a little bit more and not put as much in the hands of the quarterback. Because I thought that they put an awful lot into Trevor and said, look, kind of let's cover this up for us. And that's why they're able to play so many young guys. Listen, Clemson is, you know, a chalky as you can get because the rate of which how they play, how they recruit, how they develop relative to the ACC is a good league. It's just there's not a lot of hurdles. There's no one that's really that close. They have to really play down to lose, and that, you know, that's not the case even in the Big Ten and certainly not in the SEC, that if you have those type games, you can pay for it with a loss.
Yeah, on the road against an undefeated opponent, you're playing without the kid who was going to be the first overall pick in the next draft, and you lose in overtime. So, I mean, that's kind of where the program was. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, more Chris Landry next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Now back to business. Wednesday, Chuck Oliver Show. Hour one is going to be Chris Landry. You know that. LandryFootball.com. Get your membership. I think the most you would ever pay is $59.99. So if it's anything less than that, you're getting a deal. So that's my opinion. I just spoke on Chris's pricing structure, and honestly, I haven't checked. So, Chris, does that sound close? $59 is about the ceiling?
Yes, it does. In fact, if you take advantage of the scouting season offer, you get it. It's less than $10 a month, and if you get the year scouting season offer, it's even cheaper than that. So it's like having your own scouting department for less than $10 a month. You'll love it. So yeah. Try it out either way that fits your pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I said, it's my first stop every single day. All right, so let's get back into this with quarterbacks, and we will go to the aforementioned JT Daniels. I don't think it's a question. Is he being held back by Kirby? Of course he's being held back. Kirby wants to run the ball. If you run the ball, you can't throw an interception. So I understand that that is true, but what do you expect with a spring practice, with an off season, with, you know, JT Daniels banging on dorm doors and, you know, let's go throw routes. What do you expect from Daniels and Todd Monken in 21?
Well, all of those things that contribute to the leadership, the continuity, being in sync are all important. And I do think that with everybody having a season to deal with COVID, that they'll have a better way to figure out how they can get spring practices and workouts in without, you know, making it difficult to, you know, to avoid all the bad stuff with COVID. And I think that's going to make things better for everybody. Specifically for JT, I think it's huge. I think JT's capable of being a fixture and leading a passing attack that can take this offense to a different level. Now, I don't know. In fact, I would say that I would be hesitant to say that Kirby is going to embrace kind of like Saban did with an offense that's, let's open it up, let's go spread, let's do this, let's do that. I'm curious to see how much he's willing to go down that path. I don't think he's going all the way there, but I think he will go that way. I think it needs to be a little bit more balanced, meaning it can't be just we're going to run on early downs and throw play action. I think you got to mix it up where let's give some different looks. Let's run the football out of some spread looks. You got good receivers. Let's lighten the box and run the darn football. I'd like to see them take the approach of let's try to create more points out of the passing game, because what it does, it stresses the defense. and then you win the game with running it. That's more along the lines of what Alabama does, and you maybe don't need to go all the way there, but you can go some of the way there to where you don't get caught the other way, which Georgia has, and that is the hope, well, Kirby can't get as much out of his talent. Well, it's not that specifically what it is. Mm-hmm. It's the passing game's not good enough. So if you can slow down the running game, if they turn it over, they got to come from behind. They're not really good at that. They don't work at that. They don't identify with that. They don't stress people that way. And so I think they need to do more of that. I think what they're doing is they're leaving a lot of plays on the field because they choose to play one way, which will win them, by the way, 10 games a year. It's just the two games that they need to win to get that next step, which is obviously what all Georgia fans want. So I'm very curious to see where they go. I know what Monken can do. I know what I think Daniels can do. I know what this receiving corps coming back, I think, can do. So the only thing that would concern me and put a fly in the ointment is get the young quarterbacks ready to go, because you always are one play away from playing that guy. And if that happens, we're going to protect the football. We're not going to let the young guy put it in harm's way. But I think other than that, I think they'll throw it more and be more balanced. I think they need to. I think their inability to do that is probably the only thing that'll keep them from being maybe the team to beat in the SEC. I still think that's Alabama, but mainly because of what Alabama does and how they do it. But Georgia's right there in terms of personnel, but they've just not been able to specifically – they don't get as much out of the personnel. Mm-hmm. No, what they really don't, they don't get as much out of their quarterback development and their passing game specifically. The other parts, they do exceedingly well. In fact, as good as anybody in the country, that's held them back.
Chris, let's bounce over to the Yellowhammer State for the final two QBs I want to talk about. First, let's go to the Plains, Bo Nix. I'm going to give you the disclaimer, and this is true, and I really do believe this. Anybody, you're on scholarship, especially if you're a quarterback, you got to figure it out. All right, you got to produce. The bottom line, you're the starting quarterback. You got to figure it out. Now, having said that, there is no position that requires or relies or involves more context than the quarterback. And I can't think of a single quarterback in Power 5 football that has received less help that a quarterback has to have on offensive line, play calling, receive, whatever, than Bo Nix. He's really talented. I don't know what it equals yet, though, because I don't think he's been given a fair shot.
I think that is a lot of truth to that for this reason. The biggest issue specifically I get, people look overall on this, the question is not about Gus Malzahn, but it's hard to avoid this, in that the offense and how it's been constructed under Gus, it was very deficient on the offensive line, specifically deficient in pass protection. So when you try to set protections, when you try to work routes that coincide with the protections, quite frankly, they were as bad as anybody in what we'd consider power football. That's going to change. Brian Harsin wants to run the football. They're going to want to be good up front. Now, you don't flip the switch and recruit as few offensive linemen as Auburn has and become really good there. Yeah. But that's something that they're going to improve over time. Yeah. They're going to run, work play action a little bit more. But their route concepts, the ability to make side adjustments, the ability to change protections, weren't there. That's why Bo Nix is constantly under pressure. He couldn't make plays. But there's no alternative. And I think that has held them back for years. And that's why Auburn has been a hit or miss, because when they could run power spread with a quarterback that can run, man, their offenses went dynamic.
Yep.
They have been built with their defense and their ability to run from the quarterback position. When they didn't have that, their offense was about as deficient as anybody. And Gus, I love you. I don't want to hear about numbers or anything. It just was as poorly run, and I think that's going to change under Brian, but I don't know if it's going to change overnight.
Well, I tell you what, I want to ask you about Jake Bentley down at USA for one final season, but I don't want to shortchange the kid, because, I mean, I know he's, the size and the arm and all that stuff and the looks test, it's all there. But I want to do a deep dive next week, all right? So I'm going to give you like a seven-day preview. You come with your Jake Bentley A game next Wednesday, okay?
If I can remember that, man, we're on to something.
Hey, all right.
I appreciate it, man.
Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. We will visit with him again next Wednesday, as we do every week. And I really do want to talk more about Jake Bentley because, he's a kid that we know his story and his past and all that and could have gone to the NFL draft. He's taking advantage of one final year. I am so intrigued because he is an example of what I was talking about the other day about how, a program not – we don't usually talk in terms of going to the Orange Bowl. They can get a 4-star and a 5-star quarterback now, and it doesn't have to involve an ankle monitor or a probation officer or anything like that. And USA's got a good one.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.